Welcome back, everyone, to Money Matters. I'm your host, Alan, and today we're diving deep into a topic that can often feel like a maze for businesses, big or small. We're talking about something fundamental to financial health: understanding when a business purchase should be recorded as a capital asset versus when it's just an everyday expense. Honestly, it sounds simple, but it gets tricky, right?
Absolutely, Alan. It's one of those foundational concepts in accounting that, if not applied correctly, can really skew a company's financial statements, impacting everything from tax liabilities to investor perceptions. It's more than just a bookkeeping detail. It's about accurately reflecting the economic reality of the business.
And that's why I'm so thrilled to have our expert, Elsie, back in the studio with us today. Elsie, you've helped countless businesses navigate these waters. Let's start with the basics. What exactly are we talking about when we say capitalizing an asset versus expensing it? What's the core difference for our listeners?
Great question, Alan. At its simplest, when you expense something, you're recognizing the full cost of that item or service in the period it was incurred. Think of it as a direct hit to your income statement right away. It reduces your profit for that specific period. On the other hand, capitalizing an asset means you're treating that purchase as something that will provide economic benefit over multiple future periods. Instead of hitting your income statement all at once, its cost is spread out over its useful life through a process called depreciation or amortization.
Okay, so expensing is a one and done for the current period, and capitalizing is spreading the cost out. I think a lot of our listeners can relate to the idea of buying, say, office supplies. You buy pens, paper, maybe a new stapler. Those are usually expensed, right? They're used up quickly, or their value isn't significant enough to track over years.
Exactly. Those are perfect examples of expenses. They're typically consumed within a year, or their individual cost is quite low. They support the operations but don't create a lasting economic resource in the same way, say, a new delivery truck or a piece of manufacturing equipment would. Under GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles, we have specific guidelines for making this distinction, and it mostly comes down to a few key criteria.
And those criteria are where things can get a bit muddy, I imagine. What's the primary factor a business owner should be looking at when trying to decide whether to expense or capitalize?
The number one factor, hands down, is the useful life of the asset. If an item is expected to provide economic benefits for more than 1 year, it's a strong indicator that it should be capitalized. Think of a computer, a building, a patent, or a piece of machinery. These things aren't used up in a single accounting period. They contribute to the business's revenue generation over several years. That's why we don't expense a new factory in the year it's built. It would obliterate the profits for that year, even though it's going to generate revenue for decades.
That makes so much sense. It really provides a clearer picture of the company's profitability year after year, because it aligns the cost of using that asset with the revenue it helps generate. But what about the cost itself? Does the price tag matter? I mean, a new pen technically lasts more than a year if you don't use it much, but nobody's capitalizing a pen, right?
You've hit on the second crucial factor, Alan, materiality. This is an accounting concept that basically asks, is this item significant enough to influence the decisions of a user of the financial statements? Every company sets a materiality threshold. For a small business, that might be $500 or $1,000. For a multinational corporation, it could be hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars. So while a pen might technically last more than a year, its cost is so immaterial that it's simply expensed to save on the administrative burden of tracking and depreciating it.
So it's a combination of useful life and how much it costs relative to the size of the business. That's a good practical point. So a new laptop for a small business owner, maybe costing $1,500, would likely be capitalized because its useful life is more than a year, and $1,500 is material for that size of business. Am I tracking?
Perfectly, Alan. And there's a third element which often ties into the first two, and that's the nature of the expenditure itself. Does it enhance the value of an existing asset, or extend its useful life, or add new functionality? If you're simply repairing something to keep it in its current operating condition, say, changing the oil in a company car, that's typically an expense. But if you're overhauling the engine, which significantly extends the car's life or improves its performance, that portion of the cost might be capitalized.
Ah, the old repair versus improvement dilemma. That one catches a lot of people out. So, a new roof on a building, definitely an improvement, extends the life of the building, would be capitalized. A patch on a leaky roof, probably an expense.
You got it. The distinction is key. For the new roof, you're not just maintaining, you're often making the asset better or extending its service potential beyond its original expected life. That's a capital expenditure. The patch is just bringing it back to its original condition, or rather, preventing further deterioration. It's an operating expense.
It's interesting how subjective some of these interpretations can feel, even though they're governed by GAAP. So, what are some of the common types of items that are usually capitalized? Let's give our listeners some clear examples.
Certainly. The big ones are often referred to as property, plant, and equipment, or PP&E. This includes things like land, buildings, machinery, vehicles, office furniture, computer hardware, but it also extends to intangible assets, things you can't touch but still provide future economic benefit, like patents, trademarks, copyrights, and increasingly, software development costs. These all have a useful life beyond 1 year and are typically material enough to warrant capitalization.
Software development costs, that's a modern challenge, I bet. How do you even begin to determine the useful life of software? It feels like it could be obsolete in a year or two sometimes, but other times it's foundational for a decade.
You're right, it's a fascinating and complex area. For software, GAAP has specific guidance. Generally, costs incurred in the preliminary project stage, like research and conceptual design, are expensed. But once technological feasibility is established and you're actually coding and testing, those development costs can be capitalized. The useful life is then estimated based on expected market conditions, technological obsolescence, and the company's plans for updates and support. It requires a lot of judgment and often expert consultation.
Wow, so it's not just a black and white yes or no answer. There's a lot of gray area and professional judgment involved. What happens if a business gets this wrong, Elsie? What are the consequences of incorrectly expensing something that should have been capitalized or vice versa?
The consequences can be quite significant, Alan. Let's say a business incorrectly expenses a large piece of equipment that should have been capitalized. In the year of purchase, their expenses would be artificially inflated, leading to lower reported net income and potentially lower tax liabilities for that year. However, in subsequent years, their expenses would be artificially low as they aren't recording the depreciation expense they should be. This distorts profitability over time. Conversely, if they capitalize something that should have been expensed, their assets will be overstated and their initial year's expenses understated, which also impacts the income statement in the wrong way.
So it's not just about 1 year, it's about the entire financial narrative of the company over its lifetime. And I imagine for external stakeholders like investors, lenders, or even potential buyers, inaccurate financial statements are a huge red flag.
Exactly. Lenders use these statements to assess creditworthiness, investors use them to make buying or selling decisions, and even management uses them for internal strategic planning. Inaccurate capitalization versus expensing can lead to miscalculated ratios, incorrect valuation, and ultimately, poor business decisions. It can also lead to issues with tax authorities if expenses are improperly claimed.
This really highlights the importance of having solid accounting practices, and frankly, good accountants. It's not just about crunching numbers, it's about making informed judgments based on complex rules.
Precisely, and it's not just for massive corporations. A small business buying a new delivery van needs to understand this just as much as a manufacturing giant buying a new production line. The principles are the same, even if the dollar amounts are different. Getting it right ensures your financial statements are a true and fair representation of your business's financial position and performance.
What about some common pitfalls you see businesses fall into, Elsie? Anything that consistently trips them up?
One common one is getting confused about the intent versus the outcome. For example, a company might invest in a new marketing campaign, hoping it will yield long-term benefits. While the hope is long-term, marketing costs are almost always expensed because it's very difficult to reliably measure the future economic benefits and to link them directly to a specific asset. It's not a tangible asset with a clearly determinable useful life like a building. Another pitfall is ignoring the materiality threshold. A small business might try to capitalize every small purchase thinking they're being thorough, but actually creating more administrative work than the accounting benefit justifies.
So sometimes less is more, especially when the impact on the financial statements is negligible. It's a balance between accuracy and practicality, really.
Exactly. You need to be pragmatic. Another area that sometimes causes confusion is around borrowing costs. If you borrow money to construct a building, for instance, a portion of the interest expense incurred during the construction period can actually be capitalized as part of the asset's cost. This is because that interest is necessary to get the asset ready for its intended use. Once the building is ready, then the interest expense is just expensed as it's incurred. It's a nuanced detail, but important.
That's a really good point. It's these kinds of specific rules that make accounting such a specialized field. So, for our listeners who might be managing their own books, what's your top piece of advice for making the right call?
My top advice is to establish a clear capitalization policy for your business. Define your materiality threshold, outline the criteria you'll use for useful life, and document how you'll treat common scenarios like repairs versus improvements. Consistency is key. Once you have a policy, stick to it. And honestly, if you're ever in doubt about a significant purchase, consult with a qualified accountant. It's always better to get professional advice than to risk misstating your financials.
That makes so much sense. Having that written policy provides a framework and ensures everyone involved is on the same page. It takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. Elsie, this has been incredibly insightful. I think you've demystified a topic that many business owners find quite daunting. Thank you for breaking it down for us.
My pleasure, Alan. It's a topic that really empowers businesses to understand their true financial performance, so I'm always happy to shed some light on it.
And there you have it, folks. Understanding GAAP rules around capitalizing assets versus expensing isn't just about compliance. It's about clarity, accuracy, and making smarter business decisions. So take Elsie's advice, establish that policy, know your useful life, and don't be afraid to ask for expert help. That's all for this episode of Money Matters. Join us next time for more insights into navigating the world of finance. I'm Alan, and we'll talk soon.